Welcome in. All new live chat for this week's Memorial. Anything you want to talk about, we'll tackle it. Try to do it with data. Try to do it with logic. Try to do it with reason. Drop your comment. Drop your question. You only need to drop it once. I'll go in order and answer as many as I possibly can over the next hour or so. I don't think I have any other announcements. I guess just let's jump right into it. Garrett says, would you say these are very important stats this week? Good drive percentage, approach from 150 plus, around the green bogey avoidance, course history. Yeah, sure. So here's the key stats model on rickrungood.com. Everything you see is from my website, rickrungood.com. You should go sign up for it. So this is a correlation model or a regression model, excuse me, that shows the most correlated stats to success at Muirfield Village over the last dozen years. And what you're going to find out is you really need to drive it well. You need to hit your second shot well, and you're going to miss a lot of greens around here. You know, the idea of being able to putt on bent, the nuanced nature of some of these greens, even though they have been resurfaced in the last 2 years, is certainly something where experience comes into play with the angles that they have around this place and the undulation. So you mentioned course history. I like good drive percentage. You know, the fairways are wide, but the penalty for missing the fairway is pretty sizable. So good drive percentage would certainly be up there. I don't really care as much about like approaches from 150 plus because I think the buckets are kind of wonky. So just go with strokes gained approach and see what you can find. The other ones were bogey avoidance. Yeah, that's fine. One and done, just out of the money. Do I use Rom this week or save him for somewhere else? Well, let's think where we would save him for. We could save him for a playoff event. We could save him for a major championship. He's going to get larger fields at major championships. He's going to get smaller fields at playoff events. Is there a specific playoff spot that's particularly great for him? Better than Muirfield Village? Probably not. So all things considered, I think you should probably just run him out here. Can we do a deep dive on Christian Bezuidenhout? Sure, let's go. Golfer profile page. We'll type in CBez and see what we can find. I like the approach play. So basically gain strokes in every event dating back to the Players' Championship. He did lose a stroke on approach at the ISPS Handa Championship. That was a European Tour event. The putter is there. So that's really, and you'll see this. We talk about this a lot. The combination of being able to being good on approach and putting, it's kind of rare, or at least a little bit rare on the PGA Tour. But when both of those go well, you get some high end finishes. Now, for Bezuidenhout, his high end finishes are usually top 20s, T21 at the Charles Schwab, T23 at the Byron Nelson. He does not have a very wide path to victory, but it's not as narrow as some of the other guys who might just be putting specialists. So I do like the improvement in the ball striking category, specifically on approach. That's not something that we've seen from him historically in his career, and he hasn't lost the putter. The big issue will be if he cannot keep it in the fairway, and if he misses greens, which everyone will, he could be in trouble. That would be the concern for him. The rest of it is fine. I don't see Wyndham Clark being mentioned a lot. In a lot of the models I'm seeing, I think he would be based on ball striking. Sure. Why not? You know, you look at the power rankings here, last 36 rounds, everybody in this field, Wyndham Clark's the fourth best player in this field. Better ball striker than Xander Schauffele, Jason Day, equal to Tyrrell Hatton, better than Jordan Spieth. I mean, Wyndham Clark's having an unbelievable season. If we look at his stat profile, and I think I mentioned it before, you know, he missed the cut, the PGA Championship, but it's like, if you've been playing Wyndham Clark, you can't really stop now, right? He missed the cut at the PGA Championship. I saw a lot of his action on the golf course. It wasn't that bad. Lost strokes off the tee. He doesn't do that very often. Wasn't great on approach. He doesn't do that very often. Otherwise, it was a pretty straightforward missed cut. Nothing to be too concerned about. How was a guy coming off of a massive breakthrough win? Like, how was he going to react at a major? It was fine. Below average, and he misses the cut. Not all that worried about it. When you talk about his skill sets and what he's going to be able to do, if he can keep it in play off the tee, so not just distance, but keeping it in you know, in the fairway, Wyndham Clark is probably one of the better options here. With Rory being the obvious pivot up top, what are your favorite pivots, 9K to 7K? All right, so this is the cheat sheet where we've got the projected ownership coming in. So Rory checking in by his lonesome in the 10K range, 9% projected ownership, everybody else 18% or above. The other natural pivot, so the question was from 9 to 7. So you're seeing Fowler, Connors, Lowry, and Adam Scott garner a lot of the ownership. I suppose the best pivot would be like Sam Burns. I'm not super bullish on Sam because he's very difficult to handicap at the moment, but you cannot deny the upside, right? He won the match play. He made a deep run at, what was that? The RBC Heritage, made a deep run at the Charles Schwab, has all the upside in the world. So you cannot argue about that pivot. Down a little bit further, Tom Kim catching about 15% of the ownership. I like Denny McCarthy. He's not super low owned, but he is about half of that of Tom Kim. He's narrowing his own path. I've talked about this a lot this week. I've also sent it out in my newsletter. If you look at my newsletter, go sign up, rickrungood.com. Here's the elevated events. Denny McCarthy has been the 10th best player in elevated events this year. And he's not necessarily as reliant on the putter as he has been. So I don't mind taking half the ownership to get to Denny McCarthy there. Not super low owned. He's not going to be 1% or anything like that. I think Justin Suh is a pretty good pivot out of the kind of $7,000 range of Nikolai Højgaard and Steven Yeager down to like a 3.5% Justin Suh. Starting to come into form a little bit. Is Jason Day under-owned and underestimated as home course? So well documented that this is, you know, Jason Day's home course and he plays here a lot, but the results aren't very good, right? I mean, for a guy who has, you know, calls this his home course and has played here a ton, doesn't have a lot of great results. T4 in 2020, that's his only top 10. Missed the cut about, what, a third of the time. Bunch of kind of middling results and losing strokes on approach nearly every single time he tees it up. So I do want to just remind everyone that, yes, while despite the familiarity with the golf course, it does not necessarily mean results. We saw this with like Ryan Palmer and Colonial for a long time too, right? It's just like you see a golf course different than how you're always seeing it, and it's a little bit disconcerting and jarring. Missed the cut at the PGA Championship, not that worried about it. Missed the cut at the Wells Fargo. He gained strokes that week, not that worried about it. I think on the surface, I like the play on Jason Day, but it is not because this is his home course. In fact, the results might actually indicate this is not a very good spot for him. Day, Connors, or Fowler in one and done? I'm front running. Connors is probably the safest, but I worry about the upside. Day probably has the most upside. We just saw him win a couple weeks ago. I would say it's very, very close. Connors is really interesting because he's playing better than people expect. Played well here before, and it's a good fit for him. Keep the way he hits fairways. So I will tell you, John, I'm front running in a couple of one and duns, and I went with Connors. That's the path that I went down. Hi, Rick. Thanks for always for the great work. Appreciate it. Running low on options for one and done, but I'm front running. Would you prefer JT, Spieth, or Day? Day. Yeah, I think you save Spieth for a U.S. Open or Travelers or a playoff event or whatever, right? And then JT, you can save for, I mean, you can play him next week. You can play him in a playoff event. You can do it. I think if you're front running, there's probably not a lot of great spots to burn Day moving forward. So that's probably it. Was curious if you can run another model that you like better than on Monday's video. Would love to see it. Okay. I don't always remember. I can probably guess what I did on Monday, but I don't always remember. So here is the custom model, rickrungood.com. You can allocate 100 weights onto basically anything that you want. I'll do 24 rounds. That will immediately change it up a little bit, right? So let's do... let's start with a couple that I know I missed out on Monday. So let's do 10% on implied win percentage, which is the Vegas odds, 10% on bogey avoidance. Okay. Let's start there. So I know that I did not do those on Monday. We'll put 10 on long courses, 10 on hard courses. I imagine I did do that on Monday, and we'll put 8 on Muirfield Village. I imagine I did that on Monday as well. Then we'll do the strokes gain distribution. How about this? So let's say we're building lineups for winning GPPs, right? So let's put 10 on strokes gained, 4+, 4 or more in a round, and 5+, 4 or more around. So we've got 32 left. Notice I haven't touched a strokes gain breakdown yet, right? Like an approach, an around the green or anything like that. So I know that I'm kind of making this a little bit different. Let's do bent putting. I'm sure I did that. But let's also do bonus putting, which is, do you make all of your putts within 5 feet and how many do you make outside of 20? So this is a very, very, very high upside model that I'm building. Okay. Very high upside. I've got 4+ strokes gained per round, 5+. I've got bonus putting. That's very upside to me. So we do need to round this out though with, so we've got 24 rounds in there. So let's just do 15. If I do 12 off the tee, 12 on approach. No, that's too many. Let's do 8 off the tee, 8 on approach, 6 around the green. My number one golfer is John Rahm. Rahm can't lay Scotty Xander. Well, there's 4 of the most expensive golfers. Okay, so no surprise there. Number 5 is where you get your first outlier. It's Ricky Fowler. That's right, Ricky Fowler. Tyrrell Hatton, 6. Rory, 7. Victor, 8. Day, 9. Spieth, 10. Colin Hideki, JT, Matt Fitzpatrick, Sung JM. So just kind of let me just scroll through real quick and see if there's any. Emiliano Grillo gets a pretty good bump. Matt Kuchar gets a pretty good bump. Bezaden Hode actually gets a pretty good bump. Cam Young gets hurt a little bit here, 8,800 down to 23rd. Who is that $6,600 name that I just scrolled past? SH Kim, 35th. So you get a lot of big names here, but I think this is a pretty interesting way to go about running a model. Good luck. I just learned that this was called the Memorial because it runs Memorial Day week. Thoughts on Ryan Fox? Yeah. So I might've mentioned this earlier. I think when you go back to back top 25s at Oak Hill and Colonial, two pretty different golf courses. And now you go to one that should skew more towards your skill set and the ability to bomb it and have wider ish fairways. I think that's pretty good for Ryan Fox. Yeah. So I'm like a 6.5 out of 10 on Ryan Fox. Who are the top 3 players in the 6K range? Interesting. All right. So let's go to the cheat sheet. Okay. So where's Ekroat? Ekroat is got to be in here, doesn't he? Am I missing him? Here he is. $6,600. Ekroat would be one. Justin So would be another. And my third would probably be, I'd consider Sam Stevens, but I don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is probably still Neesmith. But I think there's a pretty big gap between the two that I like and everybody else. Thoughts on Taylor Montgomery this week? Do you think there are better options with more upside? Well, I mean, seemingly everybody's got more upside than Taylor Montgomery has these days. $7,200. He's kind of there with Bezaden Hote. He's there with Ryan Fox. He's there with Seamus Power, Thomas Dietrich. I'm having a tough time speaking today. And other guys that I think are probably more valuable. You look at what he does well and what he doesn't do well. If he doesn't putt, he's toast. And he just really hasn't putted as of late. And that's a problem because he does not drive it well. He's very inaccurate. His second shot is not very good. If he does not putt, he's cooked. So that's it. And even if he does putt well, it creates a very narrow path to victory, unfortunately. A guy that was extremely popular in season long, not very good. I think I did this. We already did the ownership conversation, so I'll pass. Is Hatton being overlooked? And can we do a deep dive on Pendrith? Let's start with Hatton here. So I don't think he's being overlooked. I mean, I'm bad at keeping my finger on the pulse of the industry, but that's why Mike Cavallunis does the ownership projections. He has Tyrrell Hatton about 15% projected ownership, which I think is fair. He's been one of the better ball strikers in the world for the last 36 rounds. You go to the power rankings, go to last 36, go to ball striking. Tyrrell Hatton's right here, 1.17. And I bet you if you do 24 rounds, I bet you it gets even better. And it's, it gets even worse. So I lied. I love this stat profile. Bunch of strokes on approach, bunch of strokes ball striking, putts well. Talk about guys that have played the elevated events well. Scheffler, Rahm, Cantlay, top 3 players in elevated events. Tyrrell Hatton, 4th. Need help desperately. Who should I take in a one and done to make up lots of ground? JT, Sahith, Connors, Rory, M, Adam Scott. Could probably get away with JT, right? Listen, it's 3.6 for first. I'm not ready to play Sahith in that scenario. And I think that's fair. And I think that Connors doesn't have as much upside as I would like. If we get A+, JT, he can win. So I think the answer is Justin Thomas. Need to pick two of these three to round out my lineup. Neesmith, Hubbard, or Streelman, probably the first two. Just a hat tip on Hubbard real quick. Look at his approach play. +7 at the Charles Schwab, positive at the PGA, +4 at the Wells Fargo, +7 in Mexico. He's finding it, right? And we've seen this before. It's not entirely crazy. He gets on these little bit of second shot heaters. You hope he can get it going one more week because that's a pretty good option. Actually, is he in the 6K range? How much is Hubbard? Because he would be, yeah, 6,500. To go back to that original question, it'd be like Hubbard, Suh, and Ekrot would probably be my three favorite in the 6K range. Hey, Rick, great content on always. Okay, so there were a couple of questions about Sungjae here, so I'm just going to lump them all together and we'll just do a little bit of a deeper dive on Sungjae and see how concerning this actually is. It's pretty concerning, admittedly. You know, to lose 5 strokes on approach at the Charles Schwab, it's pretty bad. To lose 3.2 at the PGA Championship, pretty bad. We have not seen that level of struggle since early in 2021. So basically 2 years. I would say I'm mildly concerned about this, and I would probably take a more cautious wait and see approach. I mean, he's also lost strokes on approach 3 out of his 4 years at this event, which is a little bit worrisome. So yeah, I think I'm going to tread lightly there with Sungjae. Who's on the betting card this week? I know. Don't bet who you bet. That's right. Don't bet who I bet. Bet who you want to bet. You guys don't log into my account and spend my money. I do not log into your account and spend yours. How I've spent my money is as follows. 3 selections. One is Patrick Cantlay at 10-1. I wanted to bet Scotty and I chickened out and I took Cantlay. Cantlay's just been he's been the third best player. He's been the best player who has not won this year. And he's going to the absolute spot for him. So I'm a sucker and I took Cantlay here at 10-1. Victor at 20, Justin Thomas at 30. That's it. Very small, tight card, 3 guys, 30-1 or shorter. I had to allocate a lot of funds to Patrick. So when I saw the number on JT, I just think 30 is too long. And you guys know, if you've been following, like, I'm not like some Justin Thomas truther, but Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa have very similar stat profiles. And Justin Thomas has won more recently. This is not the worst thing in the world. JT's elite around the greens. I know he cannot putt, but like, give me something. 30-1 is too long. One and done, just out of the money. Been trying to make picks further down the board with low ownership and haven't made up much ground. Still holding Rahm and Scheffler. Oof, yeah. You could use one because last I checked, Shane, they've both been used a lot already. So that's kind of the dirty little secret. Like, if you got this far holding on to those guys who have, 5 or 6 wins combined, they're now almost contrarian by nature because so few, even if I wanted to use them, I might not be able to use them. So I think you probably just run out Rahm here with the history, right? Because Scheffler could literally be used anywhere. You could use him at the US Open. You can use him at a playoff event. You can use him anywhere. But I would not worry about it if you were going to use Rahm. Hello, Rick. Thanks for what you do. Can you show strokes gain distribution for the last 4 or 5 rounds over 4 or 5 strokes for 32 rounds? Yeah. So go to the power rankings, 32 rounds. I'll sort it by 4+. This is how often a golfer gains 4 or more strokes in a round. Names that are not a surprise here. Actually, I guess one of them is Scheffler, Rahm, Schauffele, Cantlay, Hovland, Sam Stevens. Now you'll see. So like, look, the way to read this is Sam Stevens does not gain strokes to the field nearly as often as the rest of those guys, obviously. But when he does, he flashes that upside, which is kind of interesting. So he is basically gaining 4 or more strokes as often as Wyndham Clark is. He's gaining 5 or more strokes to the field as often as Xander Schauffele is, but Xander and Wyndham are lapping him on good rounds, rounds that he's actually gaining strokes to the field. Like 30% more often or 25% more often they gain than him. So that Sam Stevens, like, an interesting high upside guy or like a showdown guy or like a first round leader guy, because he has the ability to do it. He just doesn't do it frequently. You sort by five or more, see if there's any outliers here. Akshay would be one, right? Similar story to Sam Stevens. When he plays well, he plays really well. The Scotty numbers are just freaking insane. Cam Young pops a little bit here. KH Lee, Stuart Sink pop a little bit here. Stuart Sink also gets a little bit of a boost from his senior tour stuff. If I remove the senior tour, I bet you, yeah, Stuart Sink drops out of here pretty significantly. So there you go. So Rob, in two ways to do this, it says, who is a good first round leader? So you could use this tool. I think that's a really good way to do it. If you like the idea of like who plays well in the first round, you could come into the Holy Grail, do first round scoring for the last, you know, 3 years or so and find somebody who might be on both of these lists, like a Cam Young, 1.5 strokes gained per round in round one over his last 42. He was on that high upside chart as well. I'm trying to see if there were any other names. Where was, here's Sam Stevens. I mean, Sam Stevens can go deep. He just can't do it like three or four rounds in a row. Is there any data that shows who plays well with other golfers like Scotty and Jordan might play well together? There is technically data that shows that. But even the guys that play together a lot, play together what, like 40 times, have played together like 40 times in their careers, which it would be really hard to say golfer A played well or poorly because they played with golfer B. Did they just have a good day? Did they just have a bad day? I don't think 40 rounds over a career is necessarily enough. So yes, the data exists. I don't necessarily believe it is super actionable at the moment. This question, I don't have an answer for, Tim. Immediately, I would have to pull the numbers, but it says, can you show the golfers with the best scoring on par fives at this course? So I actually am working on a huge data project that would essentially allow you to do that on the site. Not quite there yet, but you'll be able to dive into it. Can we, I already did that. Can we get an updated model and can we get the producers picked to win? That's my wife, Mina. I don't know if she's watching or paying attention. We're getting a delivery right now. So if she texts me and tells me who her pick is, I will let you know. Seems like a lot of builds might try to go with two 10K golfers. So who are your favorite plays in the 6 to 7.2? That would continue to be Ekroat, Hubbard. I don't think there's anybody else that I was super excited about. Is it only a matter of time before everyone on tour is doing Aimpoint? Probably, right? I mean, ever since they got, I tweeted. I saved the things that I remember that I was right on. When they banned the greens reading books, I tweeted something like, how do I buy stock in Aimpoint? And it was a joke, right? Like you can't buy stock in, I guess I could buy stock in the company, but like I can't buy stock in Max Homa using Aimpoint. But the idea being those green reading books that showed you, okay, this is, you know, the slope here is 4 or 3.5 or whatever. Now golfers have to figure that out on the fly. And currently the best way to figure it out is with your feet in the Aimpoint system. So until there becomes another way, when someone realizes that if they lay down horizontal, like a level, that's actually even better, guys will use Aimpoint. But yes, it is just a matter of time. Can we do a deep dive on Michaeluzzi, or can we get, it was a question about Goddard. So yeah. So DM David Michaeluzzi, my buddy. It's not really my buddy, but we did chat a bit. Missed the cut to the PGA Championship, T67 at Byron Nelson, T21 in Korea. I mean, this is still, you know, there was a reason that like I played him at the PGA Championship. He was dead min price, and this is not actually all inclusive. He's got a lot of really good wins. I don't say a lot of wins. He's got like wins and podiums on like PGA Tour Australasia. I watched 18 holes with him on Tuesday at the PGA Championship. He drives it okay. I would worry that he will play out of the rough here and he's not particularly long, which is going to be a problem. So I think that that's an issue. I think if we can get David later on a course that is less penal off the tee, I think that is probably probably the path to go. Is it time to deploy Scotty in the run and done? Yeah. As Denver Timmy mentions, only 29% available. So even if everybody played him, which they're not, because a lot of people are going to play Patrick Cantlay, you're going to get a pretty good deal on the guy who's got the best chance to win. So yes. Okay, good. I'm already getting repeat questions. That's good. Why play Colin at 9.9 when you can play Tom Kim at 9.7? Half a joke, understand the course history, but their play style, ceiling, and all that stuff is damn similar. All right, well, let's dive into this, Matt. So let's do the power rankings. Let's do strokes gained in the last 36. And let's just, like, I'll just put these guys next to each other. So let's just do Tom Kim and Colin so we can kind of compare these and see. Off the tee, Colin's a little bit better. On approach, Colin's way better. Around the green, they're similar. Putting, they're similar. So Colin has been a half a stroke better per round, which is pretty significant. Let's look at upside and downside. Again, last 36, they both gain strokes to the field at a similar rate, and then Colin laps him everywhere else. I get what you're saying here, but I think in practice, Colin is obviously a way better version of Tom Kim than Tom Kim is, right? So similar, but not nearly close enough to give up the 2K. I mean, there's a reason that 2K is there. Use Rahm in one and done this week. Better serve to wait for either Traveler, St. Jude, or BMW. I would use him here over any of those places. I mean, maybe the BMW and just later in the year and let more people use him and you get him very low into the BMW championship, but it's either here or there. I don't mind using him here. Difference between driving distance and driving different distance with all drives. Which do you prefer? This week, I don't care. On a course where there might be decisions to be made on, hey, should I hit driver or should I hit something shorter? Maybe more positional golf courses, you could do all drives and it would kind of give you an indication of guys that might lay up more often or play back more often. But on a driver heavy golf course, you can just use driving distance. That's where they use two different holes, usually supposedly going in opposite directions and only measure the driving distance on those two holes. Silly way to do it, but it's what they do. So on this golf course, it probably doesn't matter. Driving distance is fine. Hey, Rick, hope all is well. Do you recall the last time Rory's odds were 15-1 or longer like they are this week? And can we get a deep dive on Shane Lowry? As I pull up Shane, yeah, I do remember the last time Rory McIlroy's odds were this long. It was here, I believe, Summit Club, CJ Cup, and he won. He was 20-1, if memory serves me. If it wasn't there, it was somewhere else. The last time Rory was 20-1, he won. I'm almost positive of it because I remember betting it and just saying, like, anytime Rory gets it to a two, like, I'm betting it. So I believe it was CJ Cup. The deep dive on Lowry is pretty solid. A great stat profile from the PGA Championship, 9 strokes ball striking gained across the board. I mean, I would like copy and paste this every single week, right? This is just a beautiful stat profile. Missed the cut at the Wells Fargo, but did it in a way that's not super scary. Lost it all in the short game. Same thing at the RBC Heritage, but he made the cut. You know, the touch on and around the greens has left him a little bit, but if the PGA Championship at Oak Hill was any indication, I think it's on the come up. Not a bad buy spot, in my opinion. Hey, Rick, because of lack of weather and fast firm conditions, are you looking at accuracy and bogey avoidance more this week? I think accuracy is going to be important. Like this is a golf tournament where playing out of the rough is very difficult. It's a big penalty there. And bogey avoidance, sure. Ever since the redesign, it got more difficult. And yeah, I think those are both well warranted. I don't think it is necessarily because of the weather or firm and fast conditions. I think this week was always going to kind of be like that. Hovland or Rory in a tournament matchup? It's actually pretty tough, believe it or not. I think the answer is, God, still Rory, right? Is it still Rory? I'll tell you what, I'll plug it in. Let's do the last 36 rounds, which might actually help Victor. So I'm going to plug this into the head-to-head matchup tool. Let this run for a second. I've got Rory as a small favorite, 52%. Very, very close. And that's 36 rounds. So I think it's still Rory. I have to sit two of these in one in season long. Buckley, Davis, Grillo, Eckroat, Wu. I think you sit Wu and you sit, yikes, Buckley. Do not love that though. You could probably sit Cam Davis too. 23rd in the extended run and done, holding on to Cantlay for the BMW Championship, trying to decide between Xander, JT, or possibly Connors Morikawa. Not confident about Thomas and Morikawa. If I were you, I would just play Xander. Yeah. How does Keith Mitchell fit? And there was, I forgot about this Chris Goddard question, which is now making a comeback here. So we don't have the same level of data for the Korn Ferry stuff on Goddard, right? Like we don't get the deep dive of the breakdown, but he's been playing pretty good. He hasn't missed a cut since January. He's got the T5 a couple of weeks ago, T17 the week after that. He's made, as I mentioned, every single cut. We know he's a big time hitter, right? But kind of inaccurate off the tee. I do not think I'll be investing much in Chris Goddard. I think there's too many good options and other guys that we've been seeing play on the DP World Tour and on the PGA Tour. This is going to be a problem for Keith Mitchell. So what do we know? This is a second shot golf course. It's always been a second shot golf course. Most of Jack's places are second shot golf courses. And even after the renovation, I think it maybe got more of a second shot golf course. Keith Mitchell's hemorrhaging right now. On approach, -3 at the PGA, -5 to Wells Fargo. He has lost multiple strokes, 3 or more in 5 straight. And he has not gained one or more on approach since Pebble Beach. That hurts. And if he does that this week, he is cooked. Okay. Couple more Keith Mitchell questions, couple more like, can you run a new model questions? Okay. Already did that. All good. Can you do a deep dive on Sepp Straka? Yeah. So Sepp, what, shot a 65 on Sunday around Oak Hill, flies up that leaderboard, comes out, makes the cut at the Charles Schwab and gives us kind of just like an okay stat profile, right? Gains off the tee, loses a little bit on approach and then gains everywhere else to finish T29. He is generally a very, I don't even want to call it a streaky player because he doesn't even get into like 3 or 4 stretches, starts in a row where he plays well. I think he's just kind of all over the map, like whack-a-mole. Never really played well here at this event. I will probably take a pass here on Sepp. That's my opinion. This just says, what? Thoughts on Suh? Yeah, so I kind of brushed over Justin Suh a little bit, mentioned that I liked him, but didn't really dive into why. So he's always been a very good putter, right? We're seeing that dating back to the start of 2023. He can gain multiple strokes with the flat stick week in and week out. We're starting to see, just starting to see a couple of better ball striking weeks. PGA Championship, Charles Schwab, he finishes T26, T16. Those are two different golf courses and he gains strokes ball striking in both of them, multiple strokes. So remember how highly touted this kid was. Finally starting to put it all together. And I think we're seeing the maturation process right before our eyes. What's Sam Bennett been up to? Oof. Question. I don't know. I'm assuming playing college golf, right? I actually do not know what he's been up to. Here's his stat profile. The last thing that I have on him that is tracked was obviously the Masters. So I don't know what he's been up to. I'll have to look at it later and maybe I can tweet it out or something. Hey, Rick, the 8K range has so many good plays. Who do you like between Ricky, Connors, and Hideki? I think Hideki's the highest upside. I think Ricky and Connors are much safer. I think that, let's look at the ownership there of the 8K guys. Hideki 14, Connors 16, Ricky 17. Not great. You're not getting really a discount on anybody. I think if you want high upside, you go with Hideki. If you want, you want a little bit of security. I think Connors is a little bit better than Fowler. Connors, and I'm not a Connors guy, but he's like legitimately been playing phenomenal golf. He won in Texas, 2 great top 12s, his last 2 starts, driving it awesome, putting it a lot better. It's a good stat profile. All those guys are fine though. Is there any event you think is worth saving for a, is there any player you think is worth saving for a playoff event outside of Cantlay and Rory? JT at TPC Southwind off the top of my head, right? Am I making that up? But that seems to be a pretty good one. Let's see.
What's the name of the tournament? Hold on. I'll do it by course. Southwind.
Yeah. Here's JT at TPC Southwind, which is the FedEx St. Jude, 12th winner, 26th, 13th. So that one comes to mind. Travelers would probably be, let's see. So let's just do everybody in this field dating back. Let's do like 5 or 6 years. And so everybody in this field, because you're going to get a pretty similar field, and we'll put the Travelers in here, and we'll see if there's anybody worth saving kind of for this. Xander at Travelers. Cantlay at Travelers has been pretty good, but probably not worth saving. No, probably not. JT at Southwind, and you could play Jason Day at Travelers, but I don't know if they're worth saving. Wind and weather, not really all that tangible, right? Basically same every day. Nothing, at least on Thursday and Friday, nothing to be too concerned about. Who's your sleeper? I'm looking at Day. I'm looking at Denny. I don't think we did a deep dive on Denny earlier, but he's always been a very good putter. He has now started to get the ball striking in order. He's been great in the elevated events. I don't think he's going to win. He's better deployed in finishing positions, matchups, and like jock market. Because jock market just asks you to beat like your expectation. So I'll actually just put it in right now. So jock market is stock market DFS. So I'm just going to actually, I'll just put a bid in on Denny right now. So this IPO is going to close tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time, but I'm not even going to like, I don't really want to mess around with it. So the suggested price, the fair value price is $5.33 a share. Let's try to ensure that I get him. So we'll say $5.75 a share for 15 shares. So if I get shares of Denny at this price and he finishes better than 29th, I win. If he finishes worse than 29th, I lose. And then depending on how much better or how much worse is the share price. So I'm just going to put this in now so I don't have to worry about it later. And we'll see around 9 p.m. Eastern time if I get that. But like this event is perfect for jock market because like the guys that I have favorited, Corey Connors, Denny McCarthy, Justin Suh, are they going to win? Probably not. But can they outperform their expectation? Like, yeah, probably. Can Justin Suh finish 31st or better? Yeah, probably. Right? Like that's the bet you're making. So it's a pretty good for this tournament where the win equity is probably coming from the top, right? If you want to play jock market, there's a link in the description. It's Rick. You get $100 deposit bonus. They've got prop pick-ems. We have a power hour tonight. But these are the best events for jock market, in my opinion. I've done a lot of these questions, which is good. Like a lot of Sung Jae, a lot of Justin Thomas, a lot of Mark Hubbard, a lot of Rory McIlroy being too long. Which I tend to agree with. If you were going to start your lineup with two guys in the 10K range, who would it be? Okay. So lineup. So I am considering ownership here. I would probably take Rory and Scotty. Now, how much does that leave me with? I don't know the answer to that question. You know, we should probably just do the deeper dive on Rory and about how concerned we should be here. Let me just bear this out a little bit or game this out a little bit. I was drooling over Shane Lowry gaining 9 strokes ball striking at the PGA Championship. I was drooling over Tyrrell Hatton gaining, you know, whatever, 7 strokes, blah, blah, blah. And Mark Hubbard doing this, that, and the other thing. This golfer, who will remain nameless, gained 7 strokes on approach and 10 from tee to green in a major championship the last time we saw him. Finished T7. That golfer, again, who will remain nameless, over the last 36 rounds is the 10th best golfer in the world. And much better in the ball striking categories. He's the 6th best ball striker in the world. That golfer, who will continue to remain nameless, has played this event bunch of times and is routinely finished inside the top 10 and the top 20. That golfer is also half or a third of the ownership of everybody else he is priced around. Obviously, I'm talking about Rory McIlroy. Like, what are we doing here? Right? What are we doing? It's easy to say that Rory underperformed at the PGA Championship. Like, I don't know, man. Heating up on him. 14 lineups. How many golfers do you like for the player pool? Entirely up to you, Eli. I keep it very, very tight, right? I get like 25 guys in the pool, keep it very tight, but this is very much a personal preference. So this is a question in regards to using the head-to-head matchup tool, which I showed a little bit earlier. So the way that I like to do this is I like to use 36 rounds or 24 rounds, put golfers against one another, and I like to see how often they are gaining zero or one stroke to the field, and if they are beating the other golfer there. So let's do Rory and Scotty, because I imagine Scotty's going to kind of be lapping the field in the last 36. Scotty's been incredible against Rory, and he is. Now, this is an outrageous number, 72%. I mean, that's outrageous, but that's how good Scotty's been, and he's gaining across the board. So then really what you want to see, and maybe Scotty's not a good example because he's been so, so dominant. What you just want to see, obviously, is the projected line being better than the line that you're being offered. Right. So Rory McIlroy, I have as -142 against Colin Morikawa. So if you were looking at this and that was a matchup that was available to you and it was, you know, -110, you'd be smashing the Rory side. Right. That's kind of where it goes. What are your thoughts on Victor? So thick rough around the greens, generally better for Victor. The ball striking numbers are about as good as you can get. I think people accurately kind of guessed he might have had a little bit of a letdown at the Charles Schwab Challenge, but that letdown was a T16 and he lost strokes on approach. That says to me the rest of his game is getting a lot better. Remember that there was the Workday Charity Open here, right? So if you actually include the Workday Charity Open and the Memorial, he gets a little bit of a boost in course history. He's been okay, not great at this event. But at this course, you also get a third place finish at the Workday. So I don't think this is an outrageously good spot for him. I don't think it's an outrageously bad spot for him. I think he's a top 8 golfer in the world who is going to be able to tap into his ball striking, and he's probably going to finish inside the top 15, right? That's about as tempered as I can get, and I think that's fair. But yeah, I mean, listen, I think LACC is going to be pretty good for him. I think that a couple places down the road are going to be good for him. A couple places might not be very good. Open Championship might not be great for him. We'll see as we get closer. Do I not have that? Stand by. I'm checking to see if I have a stat. Yeah, I got this. So the question was from Brent. We need a Nicholas Architect in the Holy Grail, right here. Jack Nicklaus. So this is courses last, I don't know, back to 2016. Jack Nicklaus designed golf courses. Everybody in this field, Patrick Cantlay, number one. 32 rounds, 2.7. Morikawa's next. John Rahm, Pendrith and Hardy, but very small sample sizes. Scotty and Reavy, Ches Reavy. How about that? It's there, Brent. That's why I was like, what? Pretty sure it's there. Ooh, I don't know if I have data on this guy. Aldrich Potgieter. I don't even know what I have on him. Let's see. He's a college kid, right? Played the Masters, missed the cut, drove it well, lost 6.5 around the green. That's probably not great. Maybe he's not a college kid because he's played on the European Tour. Don't like it. How are the feelings on Fitzpatrick? Lukewarm. I don't like that he's missed the cut both years since the event has, or since this course has been renovated. I don't like that the PGA Championship, which should have been a pretty good setup for him, he was pretty weak there. Since his win, it's been fine, but not like top 12 golfer in the world, like I think Matt Fitzpatrick is. So I think it's very lukewarm. More unique roster build, two 10K guys or zero 10K guys? Zero. A lot of John Rahm one and done questions. If you have Rahm available, you can use him. Okay, here's a good question. Which chalk are you willing to eat in the 8K range? So here's the 8K range. The chalky guys are Hideki, Fowler, Connors, Lowry, and Adam Scott. Fowler and Connors, I think. I would prefer Hideki was lower. If you need to pivot, there's an interesting Sam Burns pivot. I do not necessarily need a chalky Adam Scott at 18%, and I don't necessarily need a Shane Lowry, who, while he was good at the PGA Championship, is getting a little bit further from his DNA, which is a little bit concerning in the short game categories. I don't need a chalky that guy. So the two that I'd be willing to eat in the 8K range would be Fowler and Connors. And if I had to pick one, it's probably Connors. I just think Fowler is going to come in a little bit higher than expected, and Connors will come in a little bit lower than expected. Better bonus prize this week, shaking hands with Jack or a custom car from last week? The car. If you had to pick one or the other, would you pick approach from 150 to 175 or par five scoring? Par five scoring. Front running a one and done, but I need to start saving names. Yeah, I know that. I have Scotty left, but I feel like I should save him. Why? That's fine. If you want to do Ricky here and Scotty in LA, that's fine. Here's a question about Keegan. So I was looking into Keegan Bradley's stat profile earlier, and I was a little bit frightened. So here we go. Ball striking, I wish it was better, right? What we saw at API was kind of peak. What we saw at Farmers was peak. We haven't seen really that recently. The other problem we have with Keegan is he's been miserable here. How concerned are we about this, that this is just not a good spot for him? He had these back-to-back eighth place finishes in 15 and 16. His best finish since then was a 23rd. That was 6 years ago, 5 years ago. A lot of missed cuts in there. I will probably take a pass on Keegan and catch up with him a little bit further down the road. Are driving accuracy and around the green the two most important course for adjustment this week? No. Approach would be. And around the green will be important. I don't think it's like more important than approach play. Our accuracy will be pretty important. Here's the Henley profile. God, I cannot type and I cannot speak today. Things are going splendidly. This is pretty good. So I think we talked about this a little bit last week or maybe the week before. Russell Henley is Russell Henley, like last 500 rounds, is one of the best approach players on the PGA Tour. He's quietly doing that again. Not the best in the tour, but like 0.75 to a stroke per round. Love to see that. The other good thing is he is driving it good enough, average to above average. The really good part is notoriously poor putter Russell Henley, where he went basically 20 events in a row without gaining strokes with the putter, has now gained strokes in 4 out of 5, and he's gained 3 or more in 3 out of 5. And he lost strokes. The only place he lost strokes putting was the PGA, which, let me tell you, you can lose a lot of strokes at Oak Hill. You can lose a lot of strokes at Oak Hill on the putting surfaces. So I'm sneakily warming on Russell Henley. 2v2. Oh, I just lost my spot. 2v2, Scott and Todd or Kuchar and Rogers? Kuchar and Rogers, but I don't really like either of those. One and done, Fitzpatrick, Spieth, or Ricky? Without knowing your position, this is tough to answer, so probably Ricky. Rick, I greatly appreciate all the content you put out on a weekly basis. Has helped me a lot this year. Slightly off topic, I'll be in Vegas for the World Series of Poker, 6-4 to 6-11. Any public golf course I must play? During the World Series, it's going to be tough. You will either love or hate Bally High. You'll either love it or hate it. It's right on the strip. It's pretty unique. I love it. Some people hate it. It's right by the airport. Bears Best if you like composite courses, because they did a good job. Red Rock Arroyo would probably be on the list. If you're willing to travel like 30 minutes off the strip, go to Paiute. There's three courses there on Indian Reservation, and it'll probably be like 8 degrees cooler at Paiute than it will be on the strip. That would be the short list. Does the Travelers being the week after the U.S. Open and a cross-country flight scare you? I think it's bad scheduling, but no, it does not scare me. These guys, they travel a lot. They're fine. And the big boys are probably flying private. Excuse me. I'm just going to take a sip here. That was more of a chug. Apologies. Sam Young has been all over the place this season, but he had three good rounds last year. Where are you at with him? So here's the Cam Young stat profile, and I read this with concern. The stat profile that he's putting up right now, which is losing pretty significantly in the short game categories, looks dangerously similar to this extended slump that he had earlier this year, which is not really his game. He's much better than that. So I look at this and I see a golfer who is driving it okay compared to himself, is hitting it okay compared to himself on approach, and then is way below his own short game baseline. And one of the big separators for Cam Young being an excellent striker of the golf ball and a bomber off the tee, one of the biggest differentiators that he had was that he was good on and around the greens. And we're not seeing that. So that is a little bit scary. Do you track your season-long ROI on DraftKings, and do you mind sharing it? Yeah, I put it into a Power BI dashboard just like I would anything else. I'll put it into a PDF and I can share it. I don't care. I don't do it for a living, obviously, as I've said countless times, but yeah, I'll share it. DFS aside, I'm doing a pool with my coworker with all elevated events and majors. That's pretty cool. I have Rahm, JT, Cantlay, and Hatton left. I like Rahm here, but out of those names, is there anyone else that stands out elsewhere? You could do Colin at LACC, JT at TPC Southwind. If you're counting, yeah, that's an elevated event. And then Hatton. Maybe you just play Hatton here and then Rahm anywhere, right? Maybe that's the play. Hatton here, Colin at LACC, JT at Southwind, and Rahm literally anywhere. Rick, my favorite pod out there. Thank you. First in my one and done, 41st, 41 people. And you have to pick two. Colin, Xander, Hideki, Tom Kim, Siwoo, or Sahith. Wow. Okay. So you've got to pick two of those and you're already in first. So maybe you just burn Hideki and Tom Kim is probably the way that I would do it. Is that a taped wrist from the GC3? No. I've got double action whooping Apple Watch just to make sure I'm really dialed in here. Winning score. No real wind on the forecast, but not a ton of rain in the forecast either. Pretty warm, thick, rough. 10 under, 11 under, something like that. Wow. This is interesting. Is there any tool that will take Legends historical stat and put them on today's courses? Would love to compare Arnie, Woods, and Scheffler or something crazy. Not that I'm aware of, but that's pretty sick. So quick sidebar here. I played it during COVID, I believe, or maybe before COVID. There's this very in-depth like NBA dynasty simulator where you start with like today, it's like very like salary cap, like literally everything about the NBA you have to do. And then you start like, going, but then like you could get legacy rosters in there and it would like simulate all this stuff. It was pretty sick. I would love to see something like that for golf. Maybe I should make it. You should host poker tournaments yourself with PGA player cards. Send us all an invite when you're ready for that. Will do. You'll be the first on the list. Hatton Connors or Hideki, regardless of DFS price. Hatton, I guess. This just says peace out. See ya. Is there any way to see the one and done ownership from officefootballpool.com? Yes. Cantlay 15%, John Rahm 8, Xander 7, Sahith 7, Victor and Collins 6, Day 5, Connors 5, everybody else 4 or below. I've obviously chosen Hideki here, but this is a friends and family pool, so don't mind showing you guys that. I think we might be done. Hardest hitting question today. What is your favorite hair product? So I use something called Hair Bond. It's more of like a pomade thing than a gel. Not a big gel guy. It's like a, I don't call it like a cream, like a pomade. Hair Bond, it's from the UK, so it takes a while to ship in, but it's worth it. All right, we'll end on a golf question. Can you pull up strokes gained per round tool for this tournament? Sure. So I'm just going to follow exactly what you said. This field per tournament, I'm not going to do course. I'm going to do tournament. So I'm just going to do the Memorial. Last 8 years or 7 years, technically. Rahm, Cantlay, Scotty, Matt Wallace, Davis Riley, Sahith, Garrick Higo. Some of those guys have a sample size problem. Colin, Xander, Kuchar, Rory, Kevin Streelman. I think we're done. I'm a little hungry for lunch. We got a delivery that I don't know. I heard Ollie going nuts down there. Go sign up for rickrungood.com. Play Jock Market with us. We have a power hour tonight. It is a very cool game. The only place in the world you can make money on Justin Suh finishing 29th or better. It's the only place in the world. And if you are in it like I am every week, where you're just trying to say, am I slightly better at deciding when guys are going to be good than everybody else? Or slightly, like, you don't need them to win. You don't need them to do any of that. Appreciate it. Good luck. See ya.